Sorry. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this evening. Thank you for the time that you have given to us to be able to be together. Lord, these students have become very dear to my own heart and to the heart of these leaders as we have set apart to pray for them as this night and this semester as a whole has drawn closer. Lord, now we're at this point where we get to begin this new study, and it's a study that, Lord, has gripped my own heart, and I pray that the material that has been studied would be made clear to our students, that they would walk away from this with a greater appreciation for who you are, that it would not just be about trying to improve their lives, but it would be about drawing closer to a God who is magnificent and holy and righteous. So Lord, give us wisdom as we study this together tonight. Give us attentive hearts, we would ask in Christ's name, amen. Well, I talked for a while here advertising that we're going to begin the semester studying the Ten Commandments. If you guys were around last year, during Sunday school, we did one Sunday where we talked about the Ten Commandments. And so, if you remember, we actually learned the Ten Commandments via hand motions. Because it's important that you know the Ten Commandments and you can remember them. So, we're going to do a little bit of way a refresher for you. You guys, you ready for this?
No.
Okay. You guys remember this? Anybody off the top of their head can do it? Casey, you look really,
you look
really confident right now.
No,
I'm
not.
Sure.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So,
what? All right. So I'll help you with this. All right. So number one. Okay. So what is command number one?
Wait, what did you say?
You shall have no other gods. So there is one God. Okay.
Yes.
What is number two?
Why did I say don't listen to me.
Do it on two separate hands. Do not what?
I have no
hands. Do you remember what is this?
I don't know. That is not
bowing down to an idol.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right. Number three. What was that?
Good question.
Yeah.
Words. So do not take the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, yep. That's the right.
Wow. Yep. It's a W for words. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Number four. Yes. Keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a day of rest. So,
what
like,
does
a
with four?
Like a pillow.
Like
a pillow.
Like this.
Don't worry. You can't over scrutinize these. Okay. You just gotta
accept
them.
Can't
wait. Okay. All right. Number five. Five's the best. You guys remember?
Oh, I remember.
Yes. What is that? What is that? Swat the fly.
Huh?
High five. Swat the child. Right.
What?
Honor your father and mother. Smack him over the head. Yep. Yep. Number five. Yep.
Six. Yep. I know six.
Smack him over the head. Honor your father and mother. All right. Number six. You're doing good. Yeah.
No, I just know.
What is this?
Don't.
Yeah. Do not murder. Yeah. Okay. One and stab. Yep. Very good. So number seven, yeah, what is that?
Oh, do not commit adultery.
Yes, be right. Husband, wife, keep them together.
Nice.
Seven, yeah, very
I just,
good.
I know, like,
you guys are actually doing good with the hand motion part.
I know the motion.
All right, this one's probably the toughest one. Do you remember?
I know what it said.
Okay, number eight, do you remember what that is? Yeah.
Don't steal.
Okay, why would this be do not steal?
Because they used to, like, cut off
your
thumbs.
Yes, that's actually true. So used to in ancient societies, if you stole, a lot of times they would cut off your thumbs. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So do not steal. The other way you can remember it is you can say, who stole my thumbs? I know, right? All right, number nine.
That's not funny.
You guys remember this one? Actually, this one might be the worst one here.
One of them's don't covet. I don't know which one that is.
Well, yeah, we're not there yet. So.
Ten.
Yeah, we'll have to. You're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
So five and four. The way you remember this, five is not four. Four is not five. Don't lie about it, okay?
Oh. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
No, I know the last one.
What's the last one?
I don't covet.
Okay, how do you do the hand motions for that?
I yeah. Just, oh, wait. Oh.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, rub them together. Yep, covet. Okay, you guys actually remembered the hand motions pretty well. Maybe we'll review that next week. I might have a prize for somebody who does that, so.
When?
Next week. Next week, if you remember it, yep.
I remember.
All right. So grab your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 20. Now we'll actually read it. Now that we've reviewed it. Exodus chapter 20, this is where it is first, the Ten Commandments are first given. If you remember, if you were to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, that would be the second place where they were given for a second time. So Exodus chapter 20, and I will begin in verse 1. It says, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven or above or on earth, beneath or in water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning, flashes and the sounds of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and the people saw it, and they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, or we will die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." I think it's important as we begin our study of the Ten Commandments, before we just jump in and just start going through each of these 10 different commands that God gives to the nation of Israel, that we spend a few weeks here actually understanding what is the purpose of the Ten Commandments. What is the reason that God is giving these commands to the nation of Israel at this time? And why is that important for us as Christians on this side of the cross? Why is it important for us to understand? And so tonight, what I want us to look at is, what is it that the Ten Commandments are trying to communicate? What is it that these ten, what are commonly called 10 words, what are they trying to relate to these people and to us by extension? So this is kind of the foundation for why we're studying this and what we're going to try to get out of this study. And so I came up with 6 different things that I believe that the Ten Commandments are trying to communicate to us. And the first thing is this, and sorry that this is kind of cutting off, I don't know why it's a little bit, it's not quite proportional, but number one here is this, is that relationship precedes obedience. Is that relationship precedes obedience. Look back at what verses 1 and 2 said in chapter 20 here. It says, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." So the Ten Commandments here are immediately prefaced by a very important historical context. It's preceded by a story of redemption. So if you remember what the story of Israel is up to this point, these are the people that have come from the line of Abraham. They began to multiply down in the land of Egypt, and Egypt began to enslave these people, and God, out of his grace, out of his power, rescued these people out of Egypt. He made this showing in front of all the Egyptian gods, the Egyptian Pharaoh. He led them out of the wilderness, out of their captivity, to make them his own people. So he delivered them from their bondage, brought them into the wilderness, and he made them his own people. And as his people, God desired for them to live according to his perfect standards, which is one of the first things he does for them by giving them the Ten Commandments. So you have to understand as we begin this series that there's a specific order that is taking place here. That they had already become his people. If you were to go back to Exodus 19, he said to them, "You are to be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And he reminds them here, "I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. I have already saved you. I have already redeemed you. I have already rescued you from your state of oppression." And so now this list of commandments that I'm giving you is not so that you will become my people. He says you already are my people. And so he's saying ultimately that the Ten Commandments here are a response. It's a worshipful response to the God who has rescued them, to the God who has redeemed them. They weren't such good people that God felt obliged to rescue them. No, he did so because of his mercy and his love, which were undeserved and unmerited. And I think this is critical importance as we begin this study, because the Ten Commandments are built upon the foundational principle of God's grace. That's the same gospel that we as Christians understand, right? That the gospel is based on God's grace, that God saves and rescues sinners who are in their state of oppression, of sin. And therefore, the rest of our lives, then, after being rescued by God's grace, is then what? It's a worshipful response to him. That's exactly what the place of the Ten Commandments had in the life of the Israelites at this time, that this was a chance for them to respond because of the God who had brought them out of Egypt. So this reminds us of the important point that salvation comes to those who are poor in spirit, acknowledge their inability, and cry out to God. So your obedience and lifestyle are a response of worship to the God who saves. In other words, your adherence to the Ten Commandments shows that you belong to God. It shows that you have been possessed already by God. He has already saved, and he has already redeemed you. But the second thing we need to understand is that God's character is central focus in the Ten Commandments. God's character is central importance. I think somebody just got dropped off, so somebody might want to just let them know we're up here. Thanks. It is important for us to understand that the Ten Commandments are more than just about mere obedience. Ten Commandments are more than just about mere following some commands. If we do, then we miss the point. It points us to something bigger and better than just being obedient. It's actually pointing us to the substance behind the commands. I've used this illustration with you guys before, but think of it this way. How many of you went with us on that Ark Encounter trip last summer? Okay, a couple of you did. So if you remember this billboard, I believe this is somewhere maybe around Indianapolis or so. Yeah, you see this billboard and you think, awesome, how cool is the Ark because of this billboard? And you turn around and go home. No, that would be silly, wouldn't it? Because ultimately, the billboard is not the goal, right? The billboard is meant to point you to what? The substance. It's meant to point you towards the source, the true object of affection. How ridiculous would it be if you went and you stood and you admired the billboard and you went back home? How ridiculous would it be if you went up to a McDonald's billboard and went up and licked the burger on the picture of it and you went home? It'd be disgusting, wouldn't it? No, because you're missing the point. The billboard is just meant to point you to the true source, the true substance of what's there. And I think it's a real bummer because most of the time when we come to the Ten Commandments, we treat it like a billboard that we just observe, we think it's really great, and we miss the point. We miss the point that it says, hey, 200 miles ahead, you still got to keep going. And when you do, you'll get to the real ark. And you remember, if you saw the real ark that they built, so much better than the billboard. So much better. So God's character is what is central to the Ten Commandments. Because ultimately what the Ten Commandments are doing is they're pointing us to God. They're pointing us to God and His character. Because if we were to break down the Ten Commandments and not look at them so much as a mere list of rules or obedience criteria, I think you would start to admire God for who He really is. We start to see the character of who God is and what God really values. So let's walk through the Ten Commandments here real quick, because if we were to look at these, I think this would be significant. Number one, the command is that you are to have no other gods before me. Well, behind that is this idea that God is always highest. God has ultimate priority in our life. And so it should naturally ask us, where does God actually rank in our life? If we were to ask that question honestly of ourselves, where does God rank? Because according to the Ten Commandments in His character, He says He deserves the top spot. And when in the second command He says that you are to have no other idols that you worship before me, it's the way of God saying that He's never lower. So if He has highest priority, then He's never at a lower spot. Anytime that God is brought down to the level of the creation, that's when we make God and something else into an idol, and God is taken off His throne and He is no longer in His highest spot. What about the third one? Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. It's the idea that God is to be taken seriously. And we'll kind of emphasize this time and time again throughout this, and we're going to see that when we talk about taking the name of the Lord in vain, we kind of did this whole thing with our words, but I'm going to argue that when we take the name of the Lord in vain, it doesn't have as much always to do with what you say. A lot of times we think, well, okay, taking the name of the Lord in vain is when we say God and we attach it to maybe, a vulgarity or something of that nature. But I'm going to argue that you take the name of the Lord in vain, not just in your words, you take it in your actions. It's to essentially say that you worship God and then your lifestyle contradicts that. Because the word vain, I think we've discussed this before, the word vain, you remember what that means? What does it mean? I know you guys know this.
Loving self.
Okay, loving self means empty, essentially. So to take the name of the Lord in vain is to treat it as it's empty, it's nothing. And so you basically treat the name of the Lord loosely. It's as if to say, I worship the one true God, and then my lifestyle completely contradicts it. I think as we study this, we'll see that we do that. We're guilty of that a lot more than what we think we are. Command number four, to remember the Sabbath, it's this idea that God controls everything. This has a principle that's rooted in the creation order, but ultimately talks about how God owns our time, and He deserves our time, rightfully so. Command number five, honor your father and mother. We're going to see this understands that God values authority. God values those who have been placed in authority. That includes work, that includes government, police, teachers, coaches. It gives the example here of your parents, but I will show you later that this expresses itself in all areas of authority that God has given to us. So God values authority, but He doesn't just value authority, He values life. Command number six, do not murder. That's rooted in the idea that God values life because every single person has been made in God's image. So to attack those who bear God's image is to ultimately attack God himself. Command number 7, do not commit adultery, communicates that God values purity. There's all kinds of commands in the Old Testament talk about mixing of things and how God was a God of not wanting to mix things. Well, that's rooted in his character that he values purity, that it's not about breaking that which belongs together. And so as we say this idea of do not commit adultery, it's rooted in this idea that God is a God of purity. He's a God of holiness, without blemish. The 8th commandment, do not steal. God values ownership. In other words, God knows what he's doing by giving stuff to everyone. And so if you were to take something that belongs to somebody else, we think about that's a offense against the person that you steal from. But ultimately, it's an offense against the God who has given stuff to that person. So we see that this is rooted in the idea that God values ownership. He gives to people. That's why we talk so much about stewardship, because that's what God has given to people. And so when you take what has been given to them, it's an assault against the stewardship that God has given to that person. 9th command, do not lie. God is a God of truth. We don't have to go very far in Scripture to see that. God values justice. He values truth, honesty. 10th command, God values contentment. The command is, do not covet. This is interesting because this is the first command here where it's a hard issue. Everything else up to this point is kind of external. Here he gets to the hard issue, do not covet. And so this means that God values contentment. And it exposes in us the idolatry that we do have because it exposes what we really want, especially if that is other than God. And so when we look at the 10 commandments, we're not just looking at commands, we're not just looking at matters of obedience, we're looking at a God whose character is on full display. So when we come to the 10 commandments, guys, don't just look at this as how it affects you. Look at the God who is behind them. Remember, 10 commandments, like a billboard. If we just look at them as mere commands that we're supposed to obey, then we're going to miss the point. Points to something so much bigger. Third thing that it's trying to communicate to us is that God's authority matters most. God's authority matters most. I think the most striking feature in the Ten Commandments is the supremacy of God. We think about this, if we were to break this down even further, think about if those who steal ultimately are those who fail to trust the Lord's provision, right? If you steal, you're not trusting God who has provided for you, and you live as if you do not have a sovereign God who supplies all your needs. Those who don't honor their parents as an authority figure signify that they are rejecting the authority of God over them because God's will is communicated through parents. Those who murder view themselves as sovereign over the life of somebody else. So too, those who commit adultery are not satisfied to live with the wife or the husband that God has given to them. And in stating those things that way, I do so purposefully because it shows us that every sin, every transgression that we have is rooted in our human pride. It's rooted in our human pride. We find our ways ultimately to be higher than God's ways. We think that we know better than what God has put in place for us. And ultimately then we become sovereign. We become the highest standard. So every sin ultimately that we commit, especially as we look at the Ten Commandments here, it's an assault on the authority of God. God's authority is what matters most to us. How many of you guys have ever done IKEA before? Anybody ever done IKEA? Yeah? No? Wow. Nobody's ever put together IKEA furniture? Okay, a couple of you have. All right. So, yeah, I know, right? So, if you've ever put together IKEA furniture, banging your head against a wall might be more fun. So this gives you an idea of IKEA furniture. Notice that there's just pictures, and that's it.
That doesn't look that hard.
Okay. I'm willing to take some of our funds and put them towards IKEA furniture and let Colton put it. If you know, IKEA furniture is frustrating because they give you pictures to try to figure out how to put something together, and they give you no words whatsoever. So you're just trusting that you're going along the right way until you get about three quarters of the way and you realize that you weren't right. Frustrating process. What we have to understand as we go into our fourth thing that the Ten Commandments are trying to communicate is that the Ten Commandments are actually like an instruction manual. And, you know, as frustrating as IKEA instructions are, I still think, you know, with no matter how frustrating they may be or how frustrating even manuals with words are, it would be pretty hard for me, I know, as an individual, to put something together without the instructions. When we look at the Ten Commandments, we have to understand that they really actually do read like an instruction manual. In other words, we have to know how they work. And depending on if you throw away the manual or you actually sit down to really intently look at it and read it and understand it, you're going to come to two completely different results. So if we're going to understand the Ten Commandments, then we have to understand this, that they're built upon God's righteousness. They're built upon God's righteous character. So here's what I mean by this. If we want to get to the right and desired result, we have to understand how the Ten Commandments are put together. Because again, the Ten Commandments are about who God is and what He's all about. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's not just rules. They point to the substance. In the same way that a billboard is not designed to be the end goal, but rather pointing you to what you really need. So, in order to get the desired outcome, we have to understand how the Ten Commandments are actually put together. So, I want to show you it this way. If we were to break this into two categories here, I purposely did four on one side, six on the other, because if we were to understand this according to Matthew 22:24-30, we would understand that the summation of God's law, and we talked about this morning, the summation of God's law, His righteous character, is summed up in the commands, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And the second is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Notice, if you were to break the Ten Commandments down, you would notice that they fall into those two categories. Everything in the first four commands focuses in on God, and the five through ten focus more on our love for our neighbor. Now, obviously, one is not without the other, and we'll talk about that in a second here. But notice how it focuses on your relationship with God and your relationship with your neighbor. They were intently designed purposefully that way. But what we have to understand is there are commands that pair up with one another, like best buddies. So I want to illustrate this for you guys. I'm going to need a couple volunteers, which actually, man, wish we had more people. Otherwise, this would be a little bit easier. But all right, I need somebody. Actually, you know what? Let's get 10 people. I need 10 people. Who wants to do it? I promise you're just going to have to hold a piece of paper. Come up here. 10 people. Go. Do it. It's going to be almost everyone. That's all right. This will be helpful. Okay? Excellent. Second command. No, there's no camera. It's just audio. You're just being recorded. Yep. You guys think you can get an order here? Yep. Two still need one here. Six. All right. You got one. Seven. All right. Get an order here. All right. Hold them up so everybody can see. Eight. I need one more.
Is it going to be?
Are we supposed to get an order?
Yep. Get an order. Yep. This is not going to work very well. Okay. I'll be at 10 here. All right.
Hold it up, Colby. That's not up.
All right, so I got my 10th one here. All right, so what I want you to see, some of these a little harder because there's more text to them, but I'm going to argue here that these actually go closely together, some of these commands. And so
command number one. Let's see. You shall have no other gods before me. Closely tied to command number two, which is you shall not make an image of any sort. Now, notice there is a lot of text that comes after that, right, Cushman? Yeah. What is it? What does it read afterwards there? What does it say after the idols part?
Or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, fourth generation of those who hate, thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments.
All right. So you read a little bit in there about this idea of visiting the iniquity on third and fourth generations. Is there another command that talks about that type of stuff? You guys remember? Hold them up. Is there one that talks about a generational effect?
Wow, this one could.
What about this one right here? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Notice that there is a close connection in the wording of the generational effect, that this will impact your future. So, commands number one and two actually go with command number five. In other words, your value for human authority demonstrates how much you value God's authority over your life. In other words, this is an expression of how much you love God, how much God has the authority in your life. You'll demonstrate that by the authority that you have in your own life. Okay? So one and two, you guys can sit down. Five, you can sit down. Go ahead and set your papers down and you can have a seat. I'll show you guys that more in a second. What about command number three here? Third command. It says that you shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Alright, so this idea of you shall not is a very specific wording in Hebrew. Now, I understand, you guys don't know Hebrew, so you're just going to have to trust me on this here. But this idea of you shall not is the same language that is expressed in commands number 6, number 7, number 8, and number 9. In other words, your treatment of other people communicates how you treat God. So remember before I was telling you that the third command, taking the name of the Lord in vain, has more to do probably with your actions than your speech? This is the connection right here. This idea that when you say that you worship God, it comes out in the way that you live your life. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Those commands closely connect to one another. All right, so you can put yours down. That leaves who left? Number four. All right. Keith, you're going to be button. Congratulations. So commands number four and number 10. Notice command number four, very similar to command number two, where there's all this extra text here where it talks about your cattle and your male or female donkey and the sojourner and stuff with you. Notice the 10th command talks about your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, neighbor's servant, female servant, ox, donkey. Notice the connection of the language between the 4th command and the 10th command. Again, what this is trying to show you is that what you care about shows how well you live under God's care. What you care about shows how much you live under God's care. Because the opposite of covetousness is what? It's contentment. And we could describe contentment as what? Resting in what God has given. But what is the Sabbath about? Resting in what God has given. So you see, there is a close connection between the 4th and the 10th. There's a close connection between the 3rd through and the 6th through the 9th, and between the 1st and 2nd commands and the 10th. Let's show this to you just a little bit closer here. If you were to go to or mark down 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says that you are to submit to every human institution, which is talking about government or political authorities, for the Lord's sake. In other words, this idea of submitting to the authorities that God has given to you in this life is an expression of worship and how much you value God's authority over your life. New Testament reiterates this idea of the first and second commands being closely connected to the fifth one. If you were to write down James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, you would see that this fighting and quarreling that comes between Christians ultimately says that it is hostility towards God. It says that you fight and you covet, you murder, and he says that you do all these things and it's hindering your relationship with God. Well, that's because there's this close connection between the third command and the sixth through ninth commands. That how you live your life towards other people ultimately demonstrates the God that you worship. And the commands 4 and 10, if you were to write down Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Sorry, I actually realized I had these all put in here. So this idea of 1 and 2 being connected to 5 with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. 3 being closely connected to 6 through 9. And then this last one, 4 and 10, and their connection to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Because Philippians 4:13, if you remember, a very popular passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look at that passage is about contentment. It's about resting in what God has given, because God controls all things and God gives all things. So there is a expression here in this fifth communication here, is that the vertical is expressed in the horizontal. In other words, your vertical relationship with God is expressed horizontally. So how you live towards other people is a demonstration of your relationship with God. You cannot separate those two realities from one another. How you live here on earth towards other people ultimately shows whether or not you value God as the highest priority in your life. Whether or not you actually take God's name seriously. Whether or not you truly believe that God controls and gives all things. Your life is a demonstration of all those things. So your actions towards others demonstrate your love for God. So the Ten Commandments are teaching us that you don't become right with God because of the good things that you do. Rather, it testifies to the fact that you already have a right relationship with God. So the vertical is expressed in the horizontal. And the sixth communication, and we'll end with this one for tonight, is this, is that your lifestyle reveals worship. Your lifestyle ultimately reveals worship. And this is where I want to connect the first command and the final command together. First command is that you shall have no other gods before me. And the final command, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Understand this. Whatever you covet, or whatever you desire, it's the 10th commandment it's talking about there, ultimately reveals what's the highest priority in your life. What you covet, what you desire, is ultimately taking you back to the first and second commands. And it's having you wrestle with what is most important to you in life. Because nothing and no one should capture your affections above God. And once we see that the first and the last commands address the same issue, it's clear that all these commandments fall under that same idea. Under that same banner, that your life ultimately is an expression of what you worship. Ten Commandments are trying to teach us that your life reveals what you worship. So the point is this, what you covet, what you desire reveals what you worship, what takes highest priority in your life. So the 10th command brings you full circle. 10th command brings you back to the very start. It's asking you what's taking top priority, or what are you making top priority? I have to understand that when we look at the Ten Commandments and we think about this in the context of Israel, because that's who it was given to, this nation of Israel, I have to understand that their obedience to the Ten Commandments wasn't legalistic. It wasn't that they were doing these things in order to be right with God. It demonstrated, rather, that their life was centered on God and they worshiped God as the center of all things. And guess what? It's the same reality for us today as well. There is a place for the Ten Commandments still in the life of Christians. I truly believe that. And that's going to be our focus next week as we look at this a little bit closer. What is the place of the Ten Commandments in our life? But what you have to understand tonight is that the Ten Commandments were given not just as a list to make you right with God. Rather, they were given to you to show you what a life that has been saved from bondage actually looks like. It's to show you who God is and what God cares about. And that those who live consistent with these commands show that they are on God's team. Those who live consistent with these Ten Commandments show that God is their highest priority. That they uphold the very things that He values. And that they desire to obey them as a response of worship to the God who has saved them already. So that's what the Ten Commandments are trying to communicate. And next week we'll talk about what is their role in the life of us as Christians. So let's pray and then we'll dismiss you guys to your small groups for some discussion on that. Father, thank you again this morning, or this evening, for the time that we have had together. Grateful for our students and their attentiveness as they've looked at this with our group. Pray just for their discussion now with their leaders that this would be fruitful and beneficial for them. Give them safety as they travel from here. And Lord, just again, pray that you would cement this in their mind. Help them to understand that this list of commands that you've given is not a list to make us right. Rather, it demonstrates what a life that has been saved by your grace already looks like. So Lord, we're thankful that you have given us another exposure to your righteous character, and I pray that that would aim to transform us, Lord, from the inside out. We would ask that in Christ's name. Amen.